Then we, the final, I think the final topic of today is net debt.
So paper 11C, the paper that follows on from the discussions that the board had in October 2013 about whether it should undertake, it should include some amendments in IS 1 on for the disclosures around net debt, and the board asked us to go away and to do some research on how we might address the, these disclosures.
Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Oh, sorry. So in this paper, I've set out the background to where we had got to, so that this originally arose from the disclosure forum feedback statement and a summary of in paragraph 6 of the board's discussions in October. So following on from the board's discussions in October, we went away and did some research to try and find out and understand why investors were requesting this information and how they used it. I have put in a net debt reconciliation so we can really understand the information that the users are calling for. But in terms of why users find this information useful, we spoke to the CMAC, who supported that they were still requesting this information, but they also raised a point around they wanted information about cash as well. We've also looked back at the financial statements project and the recommendations that were included about debt in that project. But more importantly, we undertook a survey at the beginning of this year that we focused on investors, and we tried quite hard to ensure that we got a geographical representation of investors. And what we did was we tried to make sure we understood that investors were looking for information and what information they were looking for. And to that, we tried to understand why this information was important to them. So I've set out in this paper a summary of the responses that we got, but I think it would be good to say that most investors said that understanding debt was important to them, understanding the movement on the debt was important, and they also, we also asked them as well, we followed up the point around cash, and we got some feedback in terms of that they would like more disclosures and around cash. So we also held discussions with the European Advisory Group, and with we went back to the CMAC with the findings from the survey to confirm what we found, and we had some discussions with the User Advisory Council. So I think in paragraph 26 I tried to summarise what it was and why investors were asking for this information, which was the key question that the board had asked us. And I think what we identified was the net debt reconciliation supplements information that's already in the cash flow statement, and the users use this to verify their understanding of the entity's cash flow, and that verification comes because there's a reconciliation with the information that's in the statement of financial position and the profit and loss. This verification provides the users with a sort of confidence when they're predicting future cash flows. And they use it as well because it enables them, because of that confidence, they can look more at the variable and fixed cash flows, and therefore they get a better understanding of risks. So the board also asked us...
Yeah, that last point, so how do you get to that?
Which?
Well, you've moved from, as you go down through A, B, C and D... that it allows them to verify, and then that verification improves their confidence. I got that far with you. And then it enables them to better understand the exposure to risk, the reconciliation.
I don't think it's so much perhaps the reconciliation, but because they can reconcile exactly what's in debt, when they look at the cash flows, and they are understanding from the discussion panel that quite a lot of the users will look at the operating cash flows and the financing cash flows separately, and they'll look at the financing cash flows as sort of being fixed. So if they look at the operating cash flows and then the financing cash flows, they know what headroom they've got between the two.
But don't they get that out of the cash flow statement?
They say that this reconciliation gives them more confidence about it.
So again, it's not, if you take D, it's not new information, it's just confidence that the information that's there already is right.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So it's all about verification, really.
I think it's about verification. I think primarily it's confidence and verification that they get.
Verification gives confidence.
Can I add that? I think, I mean, this goes along the lines of verification as well, but my understanding too is if the changes in cash, in debt, sorry, are clear to the investor, then that's great. But if there are areas that the changes might rise to further questions or issues in the accounts, a better reconciliation of non-cash information that includes non-cash information allows them to delve deeper into that. So kind of a verification of what management's doing. So if there's a lot of changes in debt relating to foreign currency, they understand there's been a lot of activity in foreign, you know, in foreign operations. But if there are changes going on in debt that maybe aren't as clear to them by just looking at the cash flow statement, this reconciliation would give them more tools to kind of delve deeper and ask management more questions.
Philippe?
Yeah, I think there is a dimension to this information that I'd like to discuss further, and it's not somewhere you note it and do not really delve into it. When an entity presents net debt, which means debt minus liquid assets, as you noted, the debt may be located in one control subsidiary and the cash in another one. And in consolidation, just add those things together and you say that's my net debt, which might be very, very misleading information to the extent that you cannot always use the cash against that debt. And the dimension of giving more information about the net debt through its composition, its location, geographical location, entity, etc., is as important for the users as just checking that the table of cash flows plus opening, minus closing, whatever works. I think the real quality of the information is what matters. And I think we need to explore, if possible, what kind of real information is of value when talking about net debt. It's not proving the figures, it's making the business understandable by the users.
And I think what users have said was that, and we're not in this paper recommending that we give a net debt reconciliation. We're suggesting that we just give the debt reconciliation, and then if users want to net it, they and move that. But we did get the feedback that people would like more information about geographical or more information about maturity profiles. But in this paper, what we've said is we think that that would require a I think there's quite a lot of work to really understand what users are able want, and also importantly to understand what preparers could give in a condensed fashion that didn't end up being boilerplate disclosures. So where we got to, or where we get to in this paper, is that
I agree the scope of that discussion would be broader. But we should not create an expectation gap saying we're going to improve information just by putting some reconciliations or whatever, because that can be very limited in terms of improvement as compared to the real issue. So let's try not to create expectation gaps.
Gary?
Hans, if I could just jump in
and
echo what Philippe just said.
Okay.
And that is, I think, while the staff concerns are, I think, are valid and not necessarily wanting to make the scope of this potential improvement too big at this stage, the points that they make in paragraph 52, I think Philippe makes a very good point, and that is, if we were just to permit with this change or improvement the inclusion of a table similar to what you see in paragraph 9, I think that could be potentially very misleading without an understanding of where the cash resides in the consolidated group and where the debt resides within that same consolidated group, whether there are restrictions on either, and effectively, you know, what would happen if somebody just applied the ratio of debt to cash or netted the debt against the cash. They might come up with a very misleading depiction of what the financial position of the company is. So I think it wouldn't be too difficult for an issuer to make those disclosures when they present this table, to say that the debt is located at the following legal entities, or the cash resides in these jurisdictions, and is subject to additional taxes or repatriation restrictions in the event it were to be applied against the debt at the holding company or something like that. That's not necessarily imposing a very, I think, burdensome requirement on the issuer, just forcing them to make the reconciliation as clear as possible and as useful as possible.
Barbara?
Thank you. I think that I think the points are fair points about the cash restrictions, and we understand them, and that's why Michelle is saying about the debt changes, not net debt reconciliation. And I wanted to just make sure that we were clear that because this has been out there for a while and we have been asked to consider this, we think that this is a good stepping point to perhaps at the next step addressing a net debt, maybe not, requirement. But at the same time, we did go out when we asked users, investors, what information they were looking for. If they didn't get restrictions about cash and they weren't getting a net debt reconciliation but just debt changes, was that going to be useless? Because we're cognizant of this issue, and the majority that we spoke to have said, no, changes in debt is very helpful on its own. So yeah, great, give us restrictions on cash if you can. If you can't, we're still interested in the changes in debt. So I just want to make sure that we're not throwing the whole thing away without, you know, if we're talking about cash restrictions, but it is a longer term consideration if we do that.
You may follow up on Pat's point. When disclosing change to debt, i.e. the flow of new debt coming onto the balance sheet and old debt going out, give some disclosures of thought, where is this debt? What kind of debt is it? If we talk about a change in debt, this is what you propose, right? So there will be some amounts showing up as new debt. Maybe some disclosure of where is this new debt located could help.
I don't think anyone would argue it wouldn't be helpful, but we didn't want to prolong, because if this was going to start turning into a prolonged disclosure and looking at other information about needs for debt, we were trying to do this in a stepped process. I don't think what you're saying is something that people wouldn't want, but we were trying to do it in a step process to try to start giving some better information.
I think the
but you also want that better information, Barbara, not to be misleading. So if
right.
you introduce a change, you want to make sure it's not going to deliver the wrong picture. And I think without those disclosures supplementing the table, you in fact could potentially mislead somebody about what the true financial position of the company is.
Right. I think that's why that is exactly why we're not recommending a net debt reconciliation. We're recommending only changes in debt, gross debt. That table is just an example of what was used to be required in UK GAAP.
Yeah. Gary? Actually, I support this project, and I think, at least in terms of, we'll call it gross debt roll forward, I think it can generally easily be done by most companies most of the time. Somebody answered one of my questions about we can do net debt, and the answer, I'm glad the answer is no, because I was looking at net cash and cash equivalents. Well, you start getting into marketable securities and where you park all the surplus cash if you're a very cash positive generating company. I don't think we want to get into redefining what cash on the face of the balance sheet is, but if you've got a big portfolio of, you know, 6-month treasury bonds because you got no other better place to put it, I would expect a corporate treasurer would view that as part of the net debt. I don't think we want to go into that. I completely agree on restrictions on ability to move cash around. I think that's probably more important than where the debt is. The question is, can I pay the debt? I think this is a good project. I probably wouldn't try to overreach it at this point, as you say. I'm also glad we're not trying to define debt. We're going to just say financing activities. And I'm thinking of, you know, the feedback in the leasing project about is it debt or is it something else? But we got a roll forward of lease liabilities in the standard as it's proposed right now. So I would recommend we probably keep that separate from this and not get involved as lease obligations, financing debt, you know, there'll be issues on that. I would recommend anything here, I suppose, but I think that'll be the feedback.
Young?
Well, I think we should proceed speedily with this and make progress. I have understood this to be, to a large extent, analysts who are today being exposed to people who present the net debt without explaining what it is. So they have some sort of a hocus pocus, and here you have your net debt situation. And they're asking us to require definition and comparable information. Today, a lot of them take a balance sheet and they look on the different items, cash, for example. And we have consolidated a company where we have 40% ownership and we can't take money out of that company. So a lot of restrictions both on cash and how you can extinguish liabilities with that cash, and all sorts, geographically, taxes and contractual, etc. So I think we should speedily proceed with this and then have sort of a general requirement that they describe these restrictions. And I think it should be fairly easy. And then we will learn more, and one day perhaps we'll have a net debt standard, which I think we should have. And then we should include the pension liability, of course, as a financial liability. Thank you.
Mary?
Broadly supportive of the staff's recommendations in the paper. In terms of this, I think it was very, very good idea to focus on the statement of cash flows and the financing category as the way out of what I think would be a very difficult discussion in terms of defining debt. So I think a clever, thoughtful response to the other half of the feedback that we heard in the disclosure forum about not just too much, but something that's missing. So well done. The point about restrictions on cash, as you say in the paper 11C, IS7 in paragraph 48-49 already has disclosure requirements about restrictions on cash. And maybe rather than, I take Pat's caution about what would be good to have, and you know, he's characterizing it more strongly as necessary to avoid misleading information. But if we try to discipline ourselves to avoid scope creep, I think we can probably, by means of referencing the existing requirements in paragraph 48 and 49, accomplish much of what he was saying. And I think the only thing the one question I think you should put to us is whether we should look at an amendment of 48-49 that adds to legal restrictions or significant tax or other penalties that would be associated with moving. But again, that keeps it focused to what we have today rather than, Barbara, the concern you raised about taking a long time to build something out.
We go.
Two questions. During the period we developed financial statement presentation project, this issue discussed also. But I remember, maybe it's not accurately, it's a general practice in UK, but not popular in some other countries. And can you, maybe not this time, or if you can, let us know the practice and views. Particularly why I raise this is because during the discussions, some of the American constituencies, I heard, may not feel it is necessary or useful. And can you tell us either this time or later? My second question is how to define debt. You know, it's related again to our original project. The original FSV project have the idea so-called cohesiveness. And you know, broadly restructure current three statements into a one general structure, that is operating, investing, and financing. Then we have problems, you know, how to define financing. And we finally arrive at three categories. One is financing from operating, you know, put into operating, like pension and others. And the second category is debt, let's assume debt or other financing. But third category we still are not able to finalize. Then we put another separate category in addition to operating, financing, and investing, and also tax. And finally, we put another one called, you know, like mystery ones. I'm not sure, you know, here that mean what? This is my second question.
What the debt debt means or what financing means?
The debt, what the debt means.
In relation to your first question, we did the investor survey to get a wider geographical spread, and we also did some work looking at some of the standardized reports, and net debt is something that is produced in standardized reports. So I think, and certainly has become more popular in Europe, but the feedback we got, for instance, when we spoke to other regions, was that they hadn't seen a net debt reconciliation. But it wasn't that they didn't think it would be useful, it's just that they weren't aware of one. So I think when we put the if we go ahead with the project and we put the consultation document out, that's something that we can feedback. In terms of the definition for debt here, what our proposal is actually just not to define debt, but to rely upon the categorizations that are already there in IS7. So we would say you do a roll forward of your liabilities that are within your financing activities in IS7. So that we don't need in these circumstances that we're proposing to define debt.
You mean use the broad definition of liability? Of financing.
Yeah, you use the broad definition.
If that's the case, I think you should be very careful. Here you use term like borrowing. Borrowing, you give people impression you borrow either through issue bonds or borrow from bank. But pension and the leasing liability, can we say it's borrowing? So you should be very careful,
Well, we do raise that point in paragraph 49 of the paper, that it is a loosely defined definition, but we felt of the alternatives we looked at, this was the one that we could move ahead the most rapidly with.
Changwu?
Yeah, thank you. Actually, I would like to thank you to you, because this is a kind of positive response to our constituents. They have asked us to do something like this one, so it's a good response. And another thing is because we cannot do good definitions of what debt or what cash is, so maybe this is a more wise, smart way to circumvent that difficulties. But there are the two questions. The first thing is, if we do provide this kind of schedule or statement about financing activities, this information can satisfy the people, those people's needs. They've asked us some specific reconciliation information about net debt, but I'm just curious about whether our information you are developing can satisfy such information needs.
Well, we think so. I mean, we asked if people specifically wanted a definition of debt, and people were happy to go ahead without a definition of debt. And we've discussed this proposal with one or two groups, and we think that this will give them. It's not exactly what some of the UK constituents are asking for, but we think it gives them the information that they can do the net debt reconciliation themselves. So it will provide what they've defined as the missing information to them.
So that's the second one is, if this information we are developing is not good enough to satisfy the information needs of those people, maybe we can think about a more flexible approach. Rather than giving a kind of specific kind of reconciliation table, we may provide a kind of a very simple table about the debt and their borrowings and some cash equivalents and some other things, like we would suggest some other operating related maybe debt or some. We can provide all kind of information about this net debt. So I heard that not just the investors in the UK are interested in this information. Maybe Barbara maybe had surveyed many investors. many investors in the world, they are calculating this kind of number by themselves, for themselves. So if we provide some kind of a fundamental common table for them with other additional items related to this issue, then from each investor in the world can calculate their information, their numbers more easily, rather than, you know, all numbers are scattered all around the financial statements. But we are focusing on specific objective, but we cannot define net debt or cash equivalents, but we can provide all kind of information here, then you can use those numbers to calculate your own information. That would be a good service to investors, so investors might be more interested in our activities, our accounting standards. So rather going there and asking some opinions on our accounting standards, if you provide some kind of, you know, some activity information that these investors are very interested in, then we can get two benefits. You know, good, you are providing good information, and we can attract many investors interested in our field. So that will be my suggestion. We can have different approaches.
Doug?
This slightly similar point. I do appreciate, wish your effort to provide something to the users, and this is missing information. We have to do something. I appreciate that. But by providing reconciliation to each individual item of cash flow, what can we provide? That is really the question. Say, for example, according to the IS-7, there are some independent line item, for example, cash proceeds from issuing loans or notes. So are you asking to reconcile from the opening balance to the closing balance? Means last year's number to this year's number.
Our suggestion is in paragraph 46, and we say disclose the reconciliation between the opening and the closing balance. And what we're asking for is the major items that are in there to be identified.
Then for example, last year's cash flow statement, it says the proceeds of loan by issuing loans something, and this year's was something. So you are asking something in between last year and this year. So what kind of information, Barbara, please?
Because I think I understand what you're asking, because the wording is, we've talked about, that it's hard to explain. I mean, the idea is to put, because we don't think the board, there's appetite to define debt. So the idea is, look at the items on your balance sheet, look at the items that meet the financing activity definition in IS-7,
yeah,
and provide a roll forward of the activity of those items from the beginning of the year to the ending of the year. So when we refer to the cash flow statement to IS-7, we're only doing that so we can have some kind of consistent reference to financing activities or debt. So you take the items in IS-7 paragraph 17,
yeah,
that whether or not there's any activity on the cash flow statement, you look at the balance sheet, and for all those items on the balance sheet, you show all the changes in that item from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
So are you asking a reconciliation with balance sheet?
Yes.
Or are you
the balance sheet, it's like a roll forward. Like, I use the word roll forward.
Roll
because
forward.
We're not trying to tie the cash. I mean, you can argue cash flow statement reconciling the balance sheet in a way, but effectively you're taking the beginning balance of an item that looks like a financing activity.
Cash flow.
From the balance sheet. So you would take your if it was
reconciliation with the balance.
So you would take the opening position on your balance sheet, show your movements, and include the movements that are on your cash flow statement, so that a user can see how it reconciles back to the cash flow statement, and come to the closing position on your balance sheet.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think that provides some information.
Short question. Have you made any sort of contact with companies to see how they do it today?
Well, we've done quite a lot of. We've done quite a lot of looking at what companies produce at the moment, and I think, as you said actually earlier on, Some people put it in the balance, in the notes to the balance sheet. Some people have got it in the management report. Some people have got it in different places. Yeah. Some people call it a reconciliation of debt, but it's only reconciling the balance sheet position. It's not actually reconciling it to the movement in the cash flow.
But perhaps would be good to take 20 companies and give a phone call to the investor relation people and say, how have you defined this? How do you do this? Could we have a copy of you, the way you have defined internally these things?
Yeah, we've done some of that.
Yeah. And there are other companies outside of the UK that actually you refer to net debt. And I mean, there are Canadian companies, they're actually US companies. And net debt over some other non-GAAP measures like EBITDA are actually measures that a lot of analysts look at today. So that's not exactly answering what you're saying. But there is a lot of this actually used, I think, more than we probably first appreciated. And then there are others who don't refer to it as net debt, but they look for that same information.
Barbara, it's for that very reason that I'm concerned about this. And those companies that make use of those metrics and those ratios, they do not go out of their way to explain to the reader exactly what the limitations are on that ratio.
Yeah, but the changes in debt for the analysts that we talked to would give them a lot more information than they're getting today. We're not suggesting that we would define what those companies are referring to as net debt.
But to Jan's suggestion, I just wanted to challenge him, because I thought that we were saying in this project, we look to the IS7 definition of financing to determine which items and provide that reconciliation or roll forward. I don't then understand why we would ask the staff to go out and investigate in terms of developing this exposure draft. I don't understand why we would go out and ask the staff to investigate what other presentations and the components of those presentations are. I'm not against doing it
I'm just starting from the point that, as I recall it, we heard from people, help us to demand that the companies who use net debt are forced to describe their definitions. So that is where I started. And then we would end up with a lot of different ways of describing net debt. But regardless of that, I think it's just a good thing if we had more than a handful of companies. We know how they did it, because in my former life, we had tremendous discussions with investors about what goes in here, what goes out there, and can you move it around, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we can learn a lot from interacting with them.
I think because we'll be relying on the what's already in IS7, and we know that, and I put it in this paper that IFRIC have had some discussions about those general classifications. But I think we would be bringing more consistency, but I would accept the point, and that's the point I raised, that you wouldn't get an exact consistency.
Perhaps you get sort of theoretical consistency.
Yeah.
My story is then that we were a company, we were a conglomerate, and then we sold off billions of dollars and billions of dollars. And the investors were, of course, very keen on understanding that. If you wrote a standard to me, I wouldn't care about it. I would, of course, fulfill it. I would put it in page 52 of the annual report and I say, or is the legal department happy? Fine. But this is very much a core discussion between the company and analysts. And that means that you get a lot of, let's say, adjustments to the real life situation. And I think we can't define, actually, without having a very, very deep knowledge on this, how to prescribe them to present this in a good way.
Well, it's a partial response to the problem you're identifying, that we say in whatever we propose that we recognize that there will be different approaches and decisions, and that it's important, given that we expect some variability, that the calculation, you know, the calculation be sufficiently specific that you can see the components and any adjustments.
Not a big issue. I mean, I just thought it would be interesting to know what people did.
We go, Amaru, and then we close.
Now, since you propose to define debt as broader financing, exclude equity, and I have a question about possible duplication of the proposal. You propose to have registration for the financing activities. Then take a few examples. I just a list. And the leasing payable. And we may have some information disclosed based on the leasing standards on reconciliation. Pension, I'm not sure exactly, you know, we may have some reconciliation requirements in the pension standards. And normal accounts payable, and may have a reconciliation requirement in the inventory standards. And prepayment related to revenue, and we may also have reconciliation statement in the revenue standards. So I'm not sure, you know, the possible duplications, if there is, how can you...
We're only asking for a reconciliation of the items that would be classified within financing, excluding the equity. So I think from the list you just said, it would be pensions and leasings. And I accept there would be some duplication with the what's already required in for the pensions disclosures. And in fact, the disclosure we would be proposing is in for leasing is in the ED for leasing. But it would be about actually how you brought those together, because you would be showing the net position of those. So we would take that into consideration. It is a different focus. It's taking the net position.
Well, thanks. I agree this is important information. We've heard many, many times about this. I agree with Jan that I was expecting that, because in question one, you ask us if you should explore further the possibility, and then in question three, you again bring us, you agree we should explore user requests, and as a next step, you suggest we'll prepare amendments and return to the ISB. So I agree, but when I read that, I thought explore meaning a little bit getting more information and then get to us in the future, and not really, it's not really explore. You were asking us, well, you do agree, and we are bringing a proposal.
What we're proposing is that for the financing activities reconciliation, that we would move ahead. We would probably do some, if we've got the board's approval to move it, we would do some testing just to make sure with investors it would be happy, and then we would move ahead. But for the other areas, we were proposing where we had things around the restrictions on cash and the more qualitative disclosures about debt, that we would not do those at this time, and that we would leave those to the principles of disclosure project. But I think we've had some feedback that we should do something at least.
I think your question, Amaro, is I think the recommendation goes with that. Is that, am I correct to say question one kind of assumes?
Yeah.
The recommendation assumes you agree with question one.
Yeah. When I read question one, it's clear if we do agree for you to explore further. I thought it was something in line with Jan's. We heard users and we have strong support for this, but should we, before going ahead with the your proposal in the very last paragraph 62, before you present bringing us a proposed amendment, should we really explore further this? And
to be fair, because we got the feedback from the responses, we were able to go back to CMAC and get their views. But I think we would just test it with one or two, with a few users, to make sure we were happy that having the board got the board's broad agreement, it was going to give them the information they were looking for.
Okay, so you're seeking broad agreement to continue now.
Yeah.
We will get more concrete proposals later. We've already gone in considerable detail. There will be much more opportunity to do so in the future. So does the board give the staff go ahead to continue exploring this issue?
Sure. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.